No kidding. I have 4 children, and they range in age from 8, 12, 13, and 18. All boys and a baby girl. So you know how bad it is for that girl to have 3 older brothers, and they're all taller than her, and they're all older than her. And she is constantly on the receiving end of their jokes and telling her she's too little and things like that. Now, we went to the doctor a little while back, and they told her how tall she would be. You know, these projections they do. They look at the odds and they say, you're between 5'10" and 5'11". Pretty tall for a girl. So she was very excited about this. We came home and she asked me to tell her how tall she would be. And I tried to show her on a door frame, but what we did was we got her a stool. And we got her up at this height that was bring her up to about where she was, and where she's going to be one day. And she walked in, and my wife came by, and she went, Mommy, come here. And she stood next to her, and she saw that she was going to be a little bit taller than her mom. You're very cocky at this point. Mommy, I'm going to look on top of your head one day. And the mother took her down and said, you know, not yet. And one of her favorite things to do is a little girl, you can imagine, she's 8, she's about this tall. She likes me to put her on my shoulders. And she likes me to let her ride around on my shoulders. Then she's taller than everybody. She's taller than Daddy, she likes to point out. I'm taller than you. And I can see things that she hasn't normally can see. She can even look over where I can see. And this makes her proud and excites her. And she likes to talk about this. And I don't let her down so quick. I want her to see what it's going to be like when she's tall one day. Today we celebrate the feast of Polycarp. He was a bishop of Smyrna very early in the church's history. He was martyred in the middle of the 2nd century, barely 100 years since the death and resurrection of Jesus, very, very early on. And he was greatly esteemed of the church. I mean, Smyrna was no small town, so to be the bishop of Smyrna was enough authority for many people. But for him, he had special authority because he had been a disciple of John the Apostle, the beloved disciple, the man who had stood at the feet of Jesus at his crucifixion. So when Polycarp spoke, he spoke not just as a bishop or the man Polycarp. He could speak with the authority of having been someone who knew and had learned at the feet of John, the beloved disciple, who himself had learned at the feet of Jesus. Imagine what his voice meant. And it's amazing for us because he ended up being someone who became someone that people wanted to emulate and honored. There's a famous one, Ignatius of Antioch, a very powerful early church father, who one day wrote to the church in Smyrna and described himself as being the icon bearer of Polycarp. The word iconotokos, to be an icon bearer. I'm the very image of him. And you might think he's being arrogant and saying, I'm just as good as him. But there was something that they used to do in the ancient world that's worth remembering. It's called an anamnesis. And what would happen in that time is that people would take their revered ancestors, sometimes like a bust, you've seen a carving of someone, or even a mask and wear it. That was the image of this person. And it would be the iconotokos. This person would walk around the town and would speak the words of this revered person. He essentially took on their identity. And when we think of this, he's not being arrogant. He's actually being very humble. He says that I am the image bearer. I am just as good because I speak and I try to emulate him. Now, this is a little bit like riding on the shoulders of Polycarp. You want to be able to walk around and see things from his perspective, and you have that little bit of a boost in the world to be able to say that I'm not just me. I'm not just Ignatius of Antioch. I'm riding on the fact that I learned everything I know from Polycarp, and he learned his from John, and he learned his from Jesus. That word anamnesis is important because in the Mass here, in just a second, we're going to use that word. We translate it as remembrance. Do this in remembrance of me. That word anamnesis isn't just remembering like recalling. It means to make alive again, to put Jesus in front of me, and to walk around with him, and to be his image in the world, to be that iconotokos, even something greater, to be a theotokos, to be a God-bearer in the world. How much more can we be put on the shoulders of someone like Christ? How much more can we be carried around on the shoulders of Jesus? But sometimes we feel a little short. And sometimes we might want to have someone a little shorter that we can crawl onto, another set of shoulders we can ride on. That's why we in the church have these saints and we remember them. It's hard for us. It's hard for us to want to have shoulders to ride on. You know, being both Americans but also modern people, we like to think that our own 2 feet are enough to stand on, that I'm tall enough. One man, one vote, one person, one idea. Everyone has the freedom. But sometimes we might want to think that we're just short enough to want to ride on the shoulders of giants. I get to ride on the shoulders of my bishop. Without him, I'm nothing. I could just be another deacon, which is okay to be. But my ability to operate as a priest out of Southampton is because I ride on the shoulders of Bishop Provenzano. Each of us have mothers and fathers whose shoulders we ride on. But in Anglicanism, I close with this idea, is that we have a way of riding on the shoulders of those giants. There's a man named Richard Hooker. You may not know that name, but he was someone who kind of talked about what it meant to be an Episcopalian and Anglican around the time of Queen Elizabeth I. I was going to say, not the present one. A little bit further back to the 16th century. But what he said was, is that in order to know what we can, the authority we can speak on, we begin with the shoulders of Scripture. We can climb on top of that and know the Scripture and see from that perspective. We can then climb on the shoulders of the tradition of the church. People like Polycarp, our bishops and others that we lean on and we can rest upon. And then finally we have the power of our own reason. Scripture, tradition, and reason. And reason is a place that's not just us alone, but doing what we do here. We come together and reason together. And then we can really stand on the shoulders of giants, be able to see things from a very mature and new way. And from there, it seems a little less distant when God stoops down to pick us up and to stand on his shoulders. Amen.